With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is time to recap all of the craziness of the Sunday action. And with me is Pat Fitzmaurice. Of course, find him on Twitter at Fitz_FF. Pat, how was your Sunday?
It was good, Dan. Not bad for a bipocalypse. And, you know, unfortunately, there were some other teams that decided to take a bye week, even though they had a game scheduled.
This was just, I mean, some of these games, man, Pat, I don't like some of them were like a joy to behold, like the Lions coming out and just basically being like, we're in a video game. We're going to do whatever we need to do to try to take this home. And some like the Bears that were just, I could not watch the entire game. We're going to get to all of it, obviously, of course, and we'll get to it right now. But first, before we do, I hope you are here with us watching on YouTube. Again, we go live with this podcast every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Next week, Pat, I may want to push that back a little bit so I can trick or treat my kids, but we'll talk about it. But in the meantime, 9 o'clock every single Sunday. And then you hear this, you might be listening to this on the podcast the next day. That is great. But you should subscribe to our YouTube channel, not just so you can watch us here, but because you can watch all of our live streams each and every week, two every Sunday morning, two Start Sit live streams, a waiver wire live stream, a midweek Start Sit live stream. We video all of our podcasts. We put up some trade videos. We put up a lot of really good stuff over there. It's youtube.com/fantasypros. Trust me, you are missing out if you are not subscribed. Also, if you want to hear more of my thoughts, you can subscribe to the Kickoff podcast. That is my solo podcast that I do every single weekday morning. It drops at like 1 a.m. every weekday morning. So after this, I'm going to write it and record it. So Pat, I hope you give me some good material for it so I can get going. But again, it's a very quick listen, 10, 15 minutes just to get you started. Again, that's the Kickoff. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. Pat, shall we start with some trust or bust?
Let's do it, Dan.
All right. I've got two names for you. Let's start with basically the guy who lives on the trust or bust list. And that is Myles Gaskin, 15 for 67 on the ground, four targets, catches all of them, 10 yards with a touchdown through the air. I mean, look, Savon Ahmed factored in with 9 for 52, Malcolm Brown barely involved. But Myles Gaskin now, I'll just put it out there. Myles Gaskin, trust or bust?
I'm going to say bust, although I might modify that if we see that Malcolm Brown has sustained some sort of long-term injury. I think he did get hurt in this game, but now it's not really Myles Gaskin that I don't trust. It's Brian Flores and Eric Studsville, the head coach and offensive coordinator of the Dolphins, because they've kind of been yo-yoing back and forth between this full-on three-man committee with Gaskin, Brown, and Salvon Ahmed, and a situation where Gaskin is more the guy. So if Brown is on the shelf for a while, I mean, it does seem like Gaskin is clearly ahead of Ahmed in the pecking order. So I might regain some trust there. But then again, Dan, like, I don't know how much I trust with this Miami Dolphins team overall. It seems like it's kind of circling the drain. Yeah, we can get to this game in a second, but I just don't feel wildly confident about the Dolphins or their running game, which just isn't very effective.
So last week, Pat, I've made the decision that I'm not going back to Myles Gaskin under any circumstances. I mean, I guess if Brown is out and Ahmed is out and literally every other running back that they could possibly have on their roster is out, then I may be forced to do it. But other than that, I just can't do it because you know that the next time you're going to have, he's going to fumble early in the game or he's going to miss a blitz pickup or he's going to drop a pass and Flores is going to get pissed. And he's just going to bench him. I'm staying away from this. This was impressive. And the Dolphins offense, you know, again, it was against Atlanta, but the Dolphins offense, bumps aside, has looked much more competent now that you have Tua back there for however long we're going to have Tua back there. We can talk about all the rumors swirling, obviously, but it looks like a better offense. But still, at this point, I'm just going to stay away. Like, I will take my lumps and watch him perform while he's on my bench, which he is in the league or on the free agent wire. So for me, I'm firmly in bust camp, regardless of Malcolm Brown, but I would like your take on the one bright side from the Bears from that game against the Bucs, and it was Khalil Herbert, 18 for 100 yards on the ground, catches all five of his targets for 33 yards, dominates the snaps over Damian Williams. Dave Montgomery's still a few weeks away here, Pat, so I think we probably got 2 more weeks is my guess. I mean, you've got the 49ers, then the Steelers, then they've got a bye, so I assume that after that, you're going to see Montgomery back. So not a great schedule, but still, at least for now, trust or bust Khalil Herbert.
Trust in the sense that I think you can play him at least until Montgomery gets back. And I think he is the kind of asset you would still want on your roster, if not starting after Montgomery is back, because I think he's now to the point where he's at least a high-value handcuff in the Chuba Hubbard, Alexander Mattison class. And who knows, maybe once Montgomery is back, like this might just be too good for them to bottle up and put back on the shelf. Like it might be more of a timeshare arrangement going forward. Cause like the Bears had nowhere else to turn but Montgomery last year. Now, if they have another interesting option, maybe they sort of change the way they do business. And especially since at this point, it's now kind of an experimental season for the Bears.
Right. That was my question. Like, realistically, do you think, Pat, once Montgomery comes back, we don't know that Herbert's going to have 2 more successful games like he has had so far. But against the Bucs, I mean, again, this wasn't just the Myles Gaskin 10 targets, catches all 10 of them and succeeds through the air that way. This was a guy on the ground doing it when, by the way, they had no threat of a passing game whatsoever. Really impressive game here for Herbert. So really, that's the question. I'm not going to hold you to it. We have time to think about it. But for now, let's assume Montgomery gets back after the bye. Do you think Herbert can be potentially a startable flex option, even with Montgomery back?
I don't think with Montgomery back. I don't know if the touches are going to be there. And, you know, we're talking about an offense with pretty low scoring potential. So the touchdown values, if you're cutting his touches optimistically just in half, like I don't know what the touchdown potential is for a Bears back getting 8 to 12 touches a week. So
yeah,
he would probably fall just out of flex range.
All right, let's get to what everybody likes, Pat, which is the I'm confused by your opinion, sir. And I've got two names here for you. The first one is Michael Carter. Now, I understand that we're probably, you know, going forward, probably looking at, you know, Mike White for a while. Now we'll talk about that when we get the Jets game. But again, 11 for 37 on the ground. 9 targets, 8 catches, 67 yards through the air. Did lose a fumble, but Patty had scored touchdowns in consecutive games. He had double-digit touches, several games in a row here. You had him 37th in your rest of season running back rankings. I mean, that's technically outside of even flex consideration. So what I'm confused by your opinion here with Michael Carter, Pat.
Admittedly, I am probably going to be moving him up about 10 spots, Dan. Okay. A couple of injury cases, I was maybe too optimistic on who will be moving below him for sure. And part of it was the Jets offense, and no offense, Dan, but not having a great deal of faith in that offense overall. But they are going through the backs a lot. I mean, we saw Ty Johnson touch it a few times today also, which kind of makes sense. I mean, you're not going to have with Zach Wilson and now Mike White a lot of wide receiver usage overall, probably best to keep it a rather RB-centric offense. But Carter is now consistently getting work. So, yeah, he has to be a top, well, if not top 25, very close to the periphery of the top 25.
Yeah, I had him 27 coming in. And I think, look, there are a couple of things. One is Tevin Coleman was obviously out for this game, so that opened up a little bit more. But I do think that Mike White being in, and again, we don't know how long necessarily Zach Wilson's going to be out. It's an injury to his PCL. I'm sure it's going to be multiple weeks at the very least. That probably, as much as it hurts the Jets' overall offense, not that it was great, it probably helps Carter. I think you saw, like, that's part of the reason why he was so involved. I mean, 9 targets, 8 catches. I think most likely that Mike White is going to probably lean on them a little bit more, and that will probably only help to improve his value, even if it means that their offense as a whole gets a little bit worse. How about Hollywood Brown? That's another guy I am confused by your opinion. 14 targets, which is pretty crazy. Catches only 5 of them, but still 80 yards and the touchdowns. Now he's got 6 touchdowns on the year. He is pretty reliable every single week. Pat, you had him 33rd in your rest of season wide receiver rankings. What? I'm confused by your opinion on Marquise Brown, Pat.
So I was certainly concerned, Dan, about the return of Rashad Bateman, who is showing that he is a talented rookie receiver and is going to have a significant role in this passing game. And boy, that Marquise Brown touchdown today. He wasn't too efficient. I think 80 yards on 14 targets.
Correct.
A lot of that was Lamar being off target, though. I mean, he missed some throws, no question. But that touchdown catch was just a Willie Mays job. Absolute thing of beauty over the shoulder, getting that back toe in. What I think I underestimated here with Marquise Brown, Dan, in undervaluing him, is just how bad the Ravens' pass defense is. And I think they're going to be in some shootouts the rest of the way, some forced shootouts where game script dictates that there is plenty of targets to go around for both Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman. And we have to kind of stop looking at this Ravens team the way we looked at last year's Ravens team, a very run-centric operation, basically a 50-50 run pass. It's really not going to be that way anymore. And probably a majority of the runs are going to be Lamar Jackson, because this running back stable is just utterly laughable. So, yeah, I mean, there is room for both Brown and Bateman to produce. And I think, you know, Brown has got to be moved inside my top 25. And yes, without this knocking Bateman, I might be moving Bateman up in my rest of season rankings, too.
So the one I have started preparing my five biggest takeaways for the kickoff, Pat, which, again, I will record later. And certainly this is part of it, which is Bateman's here to stay for sure. But that doesn't mean necessarily it is going to take away from Hollywood Brown, which I thought it might when I thought about it last week, because you're right. I mean, Lamar Jackson is attempting, you know, 6-7 more pass attempts per game than he did last year. There is room, especially if it's going to be concentrated in just 3 guys, which it is right now, right? Mark Andrews, Hollywood Brown, and Bateman. You got those 3 guys, you're going to give him 32 pass attempts per game. There's enough production there for all of them. So very good, Pat. I like it. This was not a dispute at this one. You know, I wait for you to push back every now and then, but I'm glad. Good. Very good. I like it. Let's move on. All right, good. You want to say something? Go ahead.
No, just that, you know, sometimes I just have to capitulate on these, Dan, and this was one of those weeks.
I like it. I like it. I don't mind when you put up a little bit of a fight, though, which is always fun. But let's get to our first game, which was the Titans 27, Chiefs 3. This is why there's football, because some games are just not what you think they're going to be. Let's start with the Chiefs. The more surprising part of it, obviously, Patrick Mahomes left late after that giant hit. He is reportedly fully fine. He cleared concussion protocol. He is going to play next week, so that is great. But even before then, he was terrible. 20 for 35 through the air, 206 yards with the pick. He ran for 35 yards, but he lost a fumble. Everyone really, Pat, is terrible here for the Chiefs. Darrell Williams, 8 touches for 50 yards. Travis Kelce, 7 catches for 65 yards. Fine, of course. Tyreek Hill, 6 for 49. So we know now that Patrick Mahomes is healthy enough to play. Does this game give you any concerns here about the Chiefs going forward?
Yeah, I mean, this defense is putting Mahomes in such bad positions that he is trying to take on a little too much himself, it seems. Like a couple just horribly ill-advised throws every game that we're seeing result in a lot of interceptions, you know, fumbles when he's trying to hold onto the ball too long or make something happen with his legs. So it's going to be easier and easier to stack the top of my run quarterback rankings every week, I think. And it's less and less going to be Mahomes in consideration for that top spot and more consistently falling behind Allen and Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a functional offense as far as the big four, Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill, and I guess whoever's at running back for them
right.
in any given week. Like those four you can put in your lineup and really no one else. Like Mecole Hardman was sort of a borderline start sit for a lot of people with all the buys this week. And I don't know about you. I think I had him like in my early to mid 30s at wide receiver. So he was kind of right on that cusp and just didn't happen for him today against a pass defense that seemed like a really good matchup. So, this was kind of gross today. And being a Chiefs stakeholder is not the fiesta we thought it was going to be before the season.
I don't really understand it, I guess, Pat. I mean, and I don't know if you do necessarily, but I understand the defense is terrible, like for why the team, but this performance against a Titans defense that is far from a shutdown defense on a short week coming off this letdown sort of stop for them to happen, this just shocked me. And look, I was watching a lot of that game. Mahomes was running. I mean, whether or not he was making bad reads, he couldn't find anybody. He was holding the ball, I guess, too long. But I assume there was nobody open and he was constantly just running and rolling out and trying to buy himself time. So very weird here. But again, the good thing is he is healthy. That was a scary hit. So he'll be back next week. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you. That debate over who's going to be the top quarterback, it's always tough. But I do think Mahomes is falling out of it a little bit. For the Titans, it could have been a much bigger day, realistically, if the game was more competitive. A.J. Brown does have the big day, 9 targets, 8 catches, 133 yards. Pat, you had him 18th in your rest of season rankings at wide receiver. I had him 17th, so we were right there. Can I assume, like me, you are going to be moving him up in your rest of season rankings this week?
Yes, he will be back end wide receiver 1.
Yep. He looked as good as like A.J. Brown looks like on a normal sort of week. They obviously rested him towards the end of the game, which was fine. It was a pristine matchup, but still he was the guy. He's really the only superstar in this game for the Titans, despite the dominant win here, because Derrick Henry, 29 for 86. I mean, from a yards per carry metric, that's terrible, of course, plus 16 yards receiving. He saves his day with the very early passing touchdown, which as somebody who rosters Ryan Tannehill and desperately needed a big performance was quite infuriating. But Tannehill does have a nice day as well. 21 for 27 for 270. He does have a touchdown and an interception, but he also runs in a score. Julio Jones didn't have a big day here. He was a little bit in and out, but he did play, of course, 4 targets, 2 catches, 38 yards. So I guess I want to ask more about Tannehill, because Tannehill was a guy that most fantasy managers drafted to be their starter. They haven't felt comfortable with him. They've been streaming. You've got now A.J. Brown looking more like the A.J. Brown of old. You've got Julio Jones. Look, he didn't play great or have a huge day, but he was healthy and he was out there. So they have Indy next, followed by San Francisco. What are your overall thoughts on Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback who fantasy managers should just leave in their lineup and start?
I think I'm kind of back to where we were going into the season with him, that he is sort of a just maybe low-end quarterback 1, high-end quarterback 2 at worst. With his 2 wide receivers back, and Derrick Henry is just such a threat to the defense. No one is going to be able to sit on the pass. No pass rusher is going to be able to pin their ears back and come after Tannehill. You just can't play that way with this Titans offense and Derrick Henry doing what he's doing. So it creates opportunities for Tannehill. And he's a pretty aggressive runner near the goal line too, which is gravy for him and for his stakeholders. So yeah, I think we're back to feeling pretty good about him. And Dan, this could have been a huge game for him if the Chiefs had been able to make it competitive. Like he just went off in the first half and then they kind of scaled back in the second half. They didn't need to be aggressive on offense.
Yeah, I mean, the Kansas City offense, you know, not getting it done really hurt everything in this game, including, like you say, the Tennessee offense. All right, before we get to our next game, nobody thinks about sometimes these sort of medical emergencies, these terrible things that happened, but you've heard of people needing to get airlifted to a hospital. The really unfortunate secret about that is that that's not always covered by insurance, which is why there is Air Medcare Network, which is there to prepare you for if the unthinkable happens. If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today. Never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Remember, insurance, they just don't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency. It's a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Bros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/Fantasy Pros. Use offer code Fantasy Pros. No matter where you're at in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection that you should not live without. All right, Pat, let's get to our next game. Packers 24, Washington football team 10. This easily could have been a different game here, Pat, without fumbles and stupid quarterback dives near the end zone and interceptions and stuff. But let's talk about the Packers here for a minute. Let's talk about the ground game here for a sec. Aaron Jones, just 6 for 19 on the ground. He does catch all five of his targets for 20 yards through the air. AJ Dillon, just 4 touches, 8 yards. He lost a fumble. Any concerns here with the running backs for the Packers?
No, it was just kind of an odd game where there was sort of low play volume for the Packers. And I think they were just kind of choosing to attack the Washington secondary. So no long-term worries. I mean, Aaron Jones, we thought Aaron Jones was going to be a mid to low end running back one. And he has been a mid-range running back one the entire season. A little bit of week-to-week variance. He had the crazy, was it Sunday night or Monday night game with the 4 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He had a game like today where it's kind of a letdown a little bit, but no concerns. You know, Dillon is a guy who's sort of on the border of whether he's flex-worthy or not. There are going to be some dud games for him where he does not get the touch volume you're looking for. And other games where maybe the game script allows the Packers to kind of pound away on teams, the running game. So no long-term concerns. It just kind of didn't work out for those guys today. But, you know, overall, nothing to sweat.
All right. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers throws 3 touchdown passes, 274 yards. One of them goes to Devontae Adams, who has his usual solid 6 for 76 with that score. One to Robert Tonyan, 4 for 63 in a score. One to Alan Lazard, 5 for 60 in a score. Anything to see here with either specifically Tonyan or Lazard?
Well, you and I talked about Lazard last week and whether he was a potentially playable guy long term, and we sort of concluded that no one but Devontae is. And I think the main obstacle for him is that Marquez Valdes-Scantling is on his way back, and that's going to complicate things. Lazard's always on the field because he's such a good run blocker, so he always gets those big snap counts. And today just happened to be a day where they found something like they liked with the matchups against a very porous Washington secondary. And another nice day for Lazard. But yeah, once Scantling gets back, the target distribution is going to be very unpredictable for everyone but Devontae.
And Tonyan, just completely ignore.
Yeah. I mean, he's had what, Dan, like 4 or 5 games where he's been 10 yards or less. Like, there have been so many duds, and I was kind of giving my friend John Paulson at 4for4.com mm-hmm. grief. Like, he had Tonyan ranked like number 12 coming into this week. I'm like, in Bob we trust, huh, John? You know, and like, are you ever going to drop him after one bad game after another? Because we had been seeing Mercedes Lewis have bigger games.
Right.
And Mercedes still had a couple of catches today for the Packers. But yeah, Tonyan finally did get the touchdown. A high-end tight end too, Dan. That's yes. what I'm going to say. Does that sound right to you?
Even a little generous. I mean, it's going to take more than one random game for him to produce for me to buy into any of this. So yeah, I'm just writing this one off. If I see it again, maybe I'll get excited. But at this point, he's been completely and utterly unusable in fantasy. So not going near there unless I absolutely have to yet. For Washington, big game here from Terry McLaurin. 12 targets, 7 catches, 122 yards with the touchdown. Taylor Heinicke throws for 268. He runs for 95. He's got a few turnovers. And of course, that weird dive there by the end zone. Ricky Seals-Jones, you know, just produces 7 targets, 6 catches, 51 yards. But how about Antonio Gibson here? There's all this uncertainty with Gibson, and he's got the stress fracture, and he was out again of this. 14 for 51 on the ground, catches both of his targets for 5 yards through the air. What are your general thoughts? I guess as a fantasy manager going forward, who rosters Gibson?
Man, I'm really frustrated as someone who has Gibson in a couple of leagues. It just seems like there's no creativity in the way they use him, Dan. They run him between the tackles. They don't involve him in the passing game, even though he's a former wide receiver. They don't look to get him in space outside. You know, he wasn't very exciting today. He did have one decent run of maybe like 15 yards or something called back by a penalty. But for the most part, it was just basically slam into the line, fall forward for 2 to 4 yards. Just so unexciting. It's like they saved the creativity for J.D. McKissic, even though we know Gibson is the more talented guy. So as much as he was used today, apparently there's no concern about him being shut down anytime soon. The concern is whether you want to keep playing him when there are few high value touches for him, few targets, few opportunities close to the goal line, although he did fumble on one today.
Right.
So, I mean, one touchdown, he almost got that touchdown deodorant that could have made the day look a lot better. But man, it's frustrating. Like, you're still going to he's at least flex worthy.
Well, look, let's put a number on it, because you had him 18th. I had him 17th coming into this week. Rest of season, not this week. Rest of season. I mean, we had him above both, one spot ahead of Josh Jacobs. Jacobs got injured in this game, but he's reportedly fine and they have a bye coming up. So let's assume he's fine. Would you prefer him or Josh Jacobs rest of season?
Jacobs.
Me too. That's where we are. And look, when he had the 2 touchdowns the other week, even though it wasn't a great game, I said to everybody on the stages on Discord and everywhere I could that was the opportunity to sell high. You're right. The lack of creativity, which is crazy because of who Gibson was in college. The fact that they use him as this very boring traditional back right now. P.S. The stress fracture in his shin is not going to go away, and it is not going to get better, as Dr. Chow always tells us. So it is something where, I don't know. I mean, roll with him, I guess. You know, if you probably have better options, frankly, on your waiver wire, and not on your waiver wire, but on your bench. And I think the biggest thing is don't be afraid to bench him at this point. I mean, that's really what it is. I think I've held fast to this. Well, you're probably starting Gibson because there's enough upside to make it happen, but I don't really see the upside again unless he gets the touchdown deodorant, which I admit was not a phrase that I'd heard before you joined this podcast, Pat. I don't know if you made that up, or is that a common thing that I've just missed my entire career?
I have borrowed that liberally from Scott Pianowski of Yahoo. That is a go-to for Scott. So
got it.
You know, the touchdown that saves an otherwise bad game. So
I'm well aware of what it means. It's brilliant, which is why I love it. But then I take credit away from you. I give it back to Scott. All right, let's get to the Bengals 41, Ravens 17. I apologize to everyone who asked me a start sick question involving Joe Burrow. And usually I lean the other way because I had Burrow 12th and there was the streaming quarterbacks that I preferred instead of him, but he throws for 416 yards and 3 touchdowns, 1 to Jamar Chase. I don't even know what you say about this anymore. 10 targets, 8 catches, just 201 yards and the touchdown. I don't know if there's much to say about him, but T. Higgins, 15 targets is great. 7 catches, 62. Okay. Tyler Boyd, 7 targets, 4 catches, 39 yards. Pat, we talked about these guys last week. Do you still feel the same way you did on all of them, essentially?
I do. I think Boyd is he had 7 targets today, I believe, and he is sort of the odd man out, it appears. Yep. Higgins is still really good. He didn't have the most efficient day with his targets today, but like, this is a really good player. And I sensed in the start sit questions I was getting this morning, Dan, and I get a lot of them on Sunday mornings. I'm sensing a disrespect for T. Higgins. Like, I think he's fallen outside the top 25, top 30 for a lot of people. He should not be outside the top 25 or top 30. He's terrific. But Chase is special, man. His balance is just absolutely fantastic. And Dan, I think my main takeaway from this game, like, we talk about the Buccaneers being a pass funnel defense that teams don't even try to run on. I think the Ravens are quickly approaching that class. Like, this is matchup to take advantage of now. They just haven't gotten used to the absence of Marcus Peters yet. Like that hurt them. They had Peters and Humphrey, two really good cornerbacks. They're getting burned at every spot except the Marlon Humphrey spot right now. This was the third quarterback to throw for 400 yards on them this season. And Derek Carr and Carson Wentz have also done it.
Crazy.
Three 400-yard games against the Ravens, known for their staunch defense.
Right. And again, there was the, and I admit that I probably, you know, their third straight game at home, they're coming off a game where they totally shut down Justin Herbert. So you felt like, okay, maybe they're kind of figuring things out a little bit here. They were not, but you mentioned it. The Bengals kind of, they didn't try really to run the ball very much. I mean, Mixon was barely involved early on. He winds up with an okay day, 12 for 59, and he scores that late touchdown, thankfully. But with Mixon, by the way, I mean, he was not in on third down whatsoever. It was all Samaje Perine, who also, by the way, scored a late touchdown, but that was in garbage time. I wouldn't really worry about that. Is this something that concerns you at all about Mixon? Because he looked a little bit, especially when Perine was out, like he was kind of finally taking down the every down role here as a running back.
A reevaluation for sure, Dan, because I think they're going to maybe want to keep Chris Evans involved too. I think they like what they have with him, the rookie from Michigan. So yeah, he's not a three down back anymore. It's going to affect the way I rank him. I think you're still going to play him every week, but maybe if there's still perceptions in your league that he is one of the elite backs, it might at least be worth taking the temperature of some of your favorite trading partners and see if they perhaps value him more than the low end running back one. I think he's going to be the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree. And I love Mixon for sure. Might want to wait 1 week. They do get the Jets this coming week. Meanwhile, any interest whatsoever, got to ask about CJ Uzomah. Three catches on three targets, 91 yards and two touchdowns.
This is going to surprise you, Dan. I'm going to say this is not a fluke. Like I think.
Oh, it does surprise me. You're right.
I think he at least, that's not to say he's ready to join the Kyle Pitts, Mike Gesicki class or anything like that. I just think he is a high-end tight end too. And we are seeing the ascension of Joe Burrow. Like he is getting into that upper class of quarterbacks. Like the last 4 weeks of Burrow have been pretty special. And whatever lack of confidence he might have had in his knee early in the season. Remember, that was a thing, Dan. Doesn't that seem like a long time ago now?
I was like the biggest proponent of that, Pat. I was the biggest proponent of, look, I don't really want to draft Burrow because I think it's going to be rough coming in early in the season, whether it's physical, whether it's mental. He has absolutely surpassed my wildest expectations. He has been great. I think Chase has helped a ton. Another guy, obviously. I mean, we should probably remember next year, Pat, when we're thinking about all the chatter in the preseason about all these, you know, that his stock dropped so heavily, Chase, in the preseason based on that performance. And he's just an absolutely dominant force. So I agree with you. Burrow's been incredible.
And by the way, Dan, you know, early in the show, I mentioned sometimes you just have to capitulate. I should probably do that now and issue my mea culpa on saying that I thought the Bengals should have drafted Penei Sewell instead of Jamar Chase.
Okay.
Wrong. Fair.
Yeah, that's good. I we've got a lot of that. I like admitting when I'm wrong, actually. It makes me feel like I gain credibility. So on the very rare times when I'm right, I can actually take credit for it. For Baltimore, we talked already about Hollywood Brown. Lamar Jackson, not great in this game, as we talked about. 15 for 31, 257 yards, and a touchdown. He rushes, though, for 88 yards, as he is wont to do. And we talked about Bateman. He's 6 targets, 3 catches, 80 yards. But I do want to say we were both excited about Bateman. But Pat, coming in, I mean, you had him 57th in your rest of season wide receiver rankings. I assume he is going way up after this game.
Yeah, he is for sure, Dan.
Very good. Very good. Mark Andrews, 7 targets, 3 catches, 48 yards, which is fine. And the running backs, Pat, I mean, they have a bye next week. So I assume Latavius Murray comes back after the bye. But Devonta Freeman scores the touchdown, but 4 for 14 on the ground, has a little bit done through the air. Tyson Williams, 2 for 10, plus 24 yards receiving. Le'Veon Bell, 5 for 5 on the ground. So if Latavius Murray is out here, Pat, let's say long-term, who knows? I mean, it could be. Are you starting any Baltimore running back going forward?
Oh, my God. I guess Freeman is the main guy here. So the pecking order now appears to be Latavius, Freeman. Then who knows? I mean, you can see the dust come off Le'Veon Bell's shoulder pads now when he runs. He is so Oh, I mean, God. he's done. He's yeah. absolutely done, Dan. I wouldn't be surprised if they released him this week. He's just cooked. Yes. And I'm not sure why they don't give Tyson Williams more run. Like, we saw a little burst from him early, right? We were yep. excited about that in the preseason in the first couple of weeks. And I don't know what he has done to cross that coaching staff, but he is, you know, they're giving Le'Veon Bell carries over Tyson Williams, Dan, and they have to be seeing what we're seeing with Le'Veon, right? So yeah. I don't get it.
It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
And we were talking about this ramping up the pass volume because that running game is so horrid right now. And I suppose, you know, when you lose J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards before the season, it's going to yeah. be hard to cobble something together in their absence. So it's good for Lamar. It's good for Hollywood. It's good for Bateman. It's good for Andrews. The combination of no running game and a really shaky pass defense is going to just make this strangely Ravens passing offense very potent going forward.
Yeah, and it's good for Lamar's rushing as well. So it's going to be that part of it is at least going to be fun to watch. Before we get to the Panthers and the Giants, a game that I have no interest in discussing whatsoever, I do want to say that, Pat, I very much enjoy podcasting with you, but as much as I love that, and as much as I love doling out fantasy advice, that's actually how much I despise Kyle Yates, as you guys probably know if you listen. If I make a bad call on anything, Yates like calls me out on it immediately while it is happening. It is really annoying. He teases me mercilessly, but how do I get my revenge on him? By generally destroying him in fantasy. Now, we don't play a ton of leagues together. We're not even in the same Fantasy Pros League because we have too many people in the company that we need separate leagues. But that's why we play together on Props Fantasy, because my team is loaded in that league. I'm hoping to win this week, but even if not, I'm basically a dominant team. 14 team league, Eckler, Najee Harris, Jamar Chase. It's gorgeous. It's a juggernaut. But again, because Yates is in a separate league, I never get to take him on. So I just challenge him every single week on Props Fantasy, because you take your existing team, you can challenge a friend, you can challenge the props community generally, or in my case with Yates, you can challenge your fantasy frenemy. It works with Sleeper, Yahoo, coming shortly. It works with ESPN. You just sink your league, you make your challenges, and boom. And you know, there are sharks in the water at some of these, you know, sites that you have these matches like that. That's not the way it is at Props Fantasy. More people win there, period. Go to propsfantasy.com/pros, set up your rosters, start your first challenge today. P.S. When you register, you're automatically entered to win a signed Aaron Rodgers helmet. I know, Pat, you want some of that. The more challenges you enter, the more chances to win. Again, propsfantasy.com/pros. Get started today. All right, Giants 25, Panthers 3. I misread this game in every way that you can misread a game from a betting perspective, from a fantasy perspective. It was my nightmare actually watching this game. Sam Darnold was benched after throwing for just 111 yards and a pick. According to Matt Rhule, he is going to start next week and going forward. PJ Walker was terrible in relief too, to be fair, only 3 for 14 for 33 yards. DJ Moore doesn't kill you here in half PPR or full PPR formats. 10 targets, 6 catches, 73 yards, but pretty much everyone else does. Chuba Hubbard, 16 touches, 56 yards. Robbie Anderson, the targets are there, 9 targets, 3 catches for 14 yards. We were joking about this before we started recording, Pat. What are your thoughts generally on this Carolina offense?
I thought the offensive line was terrible today. I know Giants fans have been distraught over their lack of pass rush all season, and Carolina's offensive line gave them a pass rush today and couldn't get anything going with Chuba in the running game either. And it was kind of like, we already knew Matt Rhule was sort of unhappy with Darnold because all this week he was talking about needing to reestablish the run, which couldn't happen the way they were getting the lack of push up front. So I guess the benching wasn't that shocking, but yeah, PJ Walker looked just as bad in relief. So their problems here, Robbie looks terrible. Robbie just has the yips right now. And we talked about this. You know, I've been doing fairly well with the weekly player props column at Betting Pros, but the one big whiff this week was Robbie over, I believe, 47 and a half yards. And he's been averaging like 9.5 targets a game over the last 3 weeks. And I even wrote in the column specifically, if he gets 9 targets, all he needs to do to beat 47.5 is, you know, average, what, 5.1 or 5.2 yards per target. He got exactly 9 targets. He averaged, what, 1.5 yards per target to finish with 14?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, man, it's not going well with him. And it seems like the only time Sam Darnold can find gold anymore is when he targets DJ Moore.
Yeah. And even then, it's not perfect, right? I mean, that's the problem. I mean, it's really affecting. But yeah, that was the thing. The Giants do not get a pass rush. That's why I was excited about it, because I know Sam Darnold quite well. And I know that Sam Darnold does not do well with a pass rush. No. But when you give him some time, it should be good. And Pat, look, I'm looking. I have something that compares our rest of season rankings so that I can look and see who's higher and lower. And, we rank 100 wide receivers or whatever we do. And there are like 6 or, five or 6 that we have at exactly the same spot, right? Because you're going to be like one spot at least different on some. Robbie Anderson is one of those guys, and we both have him at 65th at wide receiver. If you are still holding on to Robbie Anderson, you do not need to anymore. I hereby release you for anything. I don't care about the targets. I'm fully off at this point. For the Giants, no Sterling Shepard, and Daniel Jones is under control. 23 for 33, 203 yards and a touchdown, 28 yards rushing. The one touchdown goes to Dante Pettis, who catches all 5 of his targets for 39 yards. Also a nice throw to Daniel Jones. Somebody commenting in our chat right now, Pat, that you gave him the confidence to start Dante Pettis this week. Well done by you. Darius Slayton, 9 targets, 5 catches, 63 yards. Evan Ingram, 8 targets, nice, 6 catches, 44 yards. Devontae Booker, 16 touches, 66 yards. He does find the end zone. The Chiefs are next, Pat. I don't know how we evaluate them necessarily because of all the uncertainty with all the injuries and people who could be back, but say whatever you want to say here about the Giants and what we saw today.
Kudos to Daniel Jones for his resourcefulness with all these weapons out, Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard, Saquon Barkley, and using the available resources to cobble together an effective, no one really struck gold of any of these spare parts, but collectively it turned into a pretty decent day for them offensively, but we can't really trust any of these guys going forward because the main weapons that he has, Saquon Barkley, Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard, these guys are the guys you'll want to play in fantasy going forward. Whenever they come back, we can, then forget about the Slaytons, the Pettises, even Evan Ingram, who, we always wait to see if he'll step up in a game where they're missing starting wide receivers and never really seems to do it. So, all the fantasy relevant Giants were out for this game, basically.
Right. That's why it's very difficult to do. Good. I'm glad it's good to see Booker come through here in a game where fantasy managers are clearly relying on him in this type of week. But yeah, it's very difficult to sort of analyze. We'll see who's healthy next week. Falcons 30, Dolphins 28. Coming out of the bye here, Kyle Pitts, 8 targets, 7 catches, 163 yards. Pat, you and I talked on a show earlier about the Cordarrelle Patterson breakout and how we were worried that that was taking targets away from Kyle Pitts. Can we officially put those concerns to bed going forward?
Yeah, it's funny. We saw Patterson be much more of a runner than a pass catcher today. Yep. And part of that was Pitts, who also sort of shoved Calvin Ridley out of the way as far as a popular target. I mean, Dan, there's always like a polarizing subject or two on fantasy Twitter throughout the summer that really gets people worked up. And I think this summer it was the Kyle Pitts crusades with the people who thought he was just this unique unicorn type of player. And then the people who, draft a rookie tight end that early. Are you nuts?
Sure.
I think the unicorn brigade is due to take a victory lap on Monday morning because Pitts looked unbelievable today. I mean, he beat Xavien Howard. They had Xavien Howard on him at one point and beats Xavien Howard down the sideline with safety help over the top. And Pitts still brought in this ball, from over 2 defenders. And yeah, he's fantastic.
He is really fantastic. Joe Pizzapia, thankfully, is already taking his victory lap with us in our private message.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He wastes no time, I tell you that. Okay, so you mentioned Ridley. He does see the 10 targets, Pat, which is great, but he catches only 4 of them for 26 yards. He does get the, quote, touchdown deodorant to save his day. So do you feel better or worse or the same about Ridley after this game?
Worse. He's not the top target on his own team anymore. It's going to be hard to regard him as a wide receiver 1 going forward, which is funny because a lot of people had him as like the wide receiver 4 overall.
Yes, Oh, yes.
Coming into this season. And yeah, like he's, he didn't even look that good today, Dan.
He
does not look bursty like he has in the past. You know, he almost looks like he's struggling at the catch point a little bit. It's weird. Like, I don't know what happened to him. Like, maybe something's going on. He missed the game in London for personal reasons. I mean, maybe his head and heart are just not in it for some reason this year, but like, he is not the same guy.
You are correct. I definitely had that feeling while watching that game that this just does not look like that absolutely explosive wide receiver that we saw last year. So I agree. I'm concerned. The targets, you know, don't really matter as much as the fact that, like, wow, this is really clearly something that I'm worried about going forward. Meanwhile, you mentioned Cordarrelle Patterson, more of a classic runner, 14 for 60 with the touchdown on the ground, doesn't really get much going through the air, but Mike Davis, 4 carries, 10 yards. He limped off late. I haven't seen anything on that he was hurt, but regardless, can we drop Mike Davis at this point?
Ooh, so he still played like a pretty decent number of snaps, like over half the, I mean, and that's what Jonathan Taylor plays in games, like 56 to 60% of the snaps. And that's what Davis played today. I don't know why he got so few carries, but yeah, the Patterson ramped up usage, like his snap counts keep going up, and he was at what, over a 70% snap share this week, another after setting a season high in snaps the week before, maybe another season high this week. He's close to being droppable. I think it depends on what league parameters are. I think in any 10 team league, Mike Davis is droppable for certain. And possibly in a 12 teamer, depending on what your roster looks like.
So I was somebody who was holding on to Davis pretty firmly in draft season. Like, I was like, oh, who's going to take carries away from him? You had him 30th coming in. I had him 28th. My guess is I'm going to drop him to like 35th roughly at running back ranking. Somebody who, right, it's like, that's a guy who's probably rosterable, but not somebody who I am going to think about starting. And this is, you know, in a terrible week like this, and he really lets everybody down, it's really difficult to think about starting him going forward. Finally, Matt Ryan winds up with 336 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 to Ridley, the other Russell Gage. Anything for, you know, 6 targets, 4 catches, 67 yards in the score for Gage. Anything at all to care about?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Gage is playable, maybe rosterable in larger leagues and could have value if anything happened to Ridley or Zacchaeus or something, but he'll be a hit and miss guy.
I agree. For the Dolphins, we already discussed Myles Gaskin, 2 throws for 291 yards and 4 touchdown passes. He does make a couple of killer mistakes here, but everything is better with Tua right now under center. Mike Gesicki, we talked about, just a locked in tight end that you start every single week. 8 targets, 7 catches, 85 yards in the touchdown. Jaylen Waddle, 8 targets, 7 catches, 83 yards. Touchdowns also to Mac Hollins, Isaiah Ford, as well as Gaskin. But Pat, we both ranked Jaylen Waddle as a low end wide receiver 3 in our rest of season rankings. I feel like we're too low and we need to move him up.
Yeah. And maybe less concerned about Parker and Fuller, who we thought Parker might be back today, was not. We think Fuller's going to be back next week, and no telling on Parker. Maybe it's just those guys are going to be kind of squeezed out here. I think it's hard for Gesicki and Waddle not to be getting a lot of targets as good as they've looked lately. Like, Gesicki looks phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Just absolutely great. Like, he makes tough catches every week. Like,
yeah.
Tough catches, high degree of difficulty catches. He brings those in at a miraculous rate. And,
yeah.
You know, Waddle looks good too. He's just so smooth. And, you know, we haven't seen the big plays coming yet. Like, the target, the yards per catch is pretty pedestrian right now, but like, it's coming. They're going to be, with his speed, they're going to be big plays. We just, like, he is below expectations on big plays right now.
Yep. I just don't think you can put the genie back in the bottle with Waddle with how good he looks. I don't think it matters who comes back. So I will be moving him up regardless. But certainly Parker being out in this game certainly helped him in that sense. Patriots 54, Jets 13. It's a little bit hard to take away too much here from the past, just given how much of a blowout this was. But Ramondre Stevenson was surprisingly inactive. We were joking about it before when we learned. Damien Harris, 14 for 106 on the ground, plus 2 touchdowns. He had him 20th rest of season coming into the week. Does this change anything for you? Are you going to move him up?
Yeah, at worst, low end running back too. Okay. The workload is safe. you'd like a little more involvement in the passing game because he's capable of doing it. But as just now the clear bell to ball carrier for a pretty good New England team, you know, one.
Well, to be clear, you had him as a low end RB2 already, Pat. That's what I mean. Like you had him at 20.
Sorry, high end running back okay. too. If I said low end, I misspoke. Sorry.
You did. How dare you? It's fine. I just want to make sure. No, that's fine. Meanwhile, JJ Taylor, 9 for 21 with 2 touchdowns in garbage time here. Mac Jones throws for 307 yards for 2 touchdowns, 1 to Brandon Bolden, who has 79 yards receiving, 1 to Hunter Henry, who at least 2 for 23 through the air, only 4 targets. Also, Kendrick Bourne throws a touchdown pass to Nelson Agholor. Jonnu Smith finally got involved with 5 targets and 2 catches for 52 yards, but he left with a shoulder injury. The one I actually want to talk about, Pat, is Jakobi Meyers. 7 targets, 5 catches, 44 yards. This just feels like I keep waiting. I don't know about you. I keep waiting for like this breakout game. But every week it's like 5 catches, 50 yards and no chance of a touchdown. How do you feel about Meyers going forward?
There's value to what he does in full point PPR, at least flex value, because he is reliably getting, you know, 5 to 8 or 9 catches a week. But again, as you said, Dan, like it's under 10 yards per catch. It's never a touchdown. So, unnutritious PPR fare. That's about it. Like, it's just, it's PPR cotton candy. It's basically all air, Dan.
I like that. Well, you had him 43rd coming in. I had him 38th. So it's much more probably about me working through my own issues, Pat. But I have to drop him because I keep thinking there's going to be something here. There's going to be the game. It's coming. I can feel it coming. He's getting the targets every single week. And it's just not there, especially in this offense. For the Jets, look, we talked about it. Zach Wilson, he suffered a knee injury. It sounds like a PCL sprain. He's going to miss some time. So it is going to be Mike White. So let's talk about the receiving core because we already talked about Carter. I mean, Corey Davis, he scores a touchdown here, which was good. 6 targets, 4 catches, 47 yards. But I guess the question is, with White under center here for the foreseeable future, can you consider starting Davis or any Jets wide receiver so long as he is taking snaps at the quarterback position?
Davis is the only guy you could possibly consider. And you'd have to be pretty thin at wide receiver, I think, to consider it.
I agree. You already had him 40th, Pat. As always, you are the superior rest of season ranker. I had him 34th. I will be dropping him for sure because I think that's what it is. Good, again, for him to get the touchdown here in a great catch, by the way. Kudos to him on that one. But still, I agree. It's got to go downhill. Raiders 33, Eagles 22. There's no Darren Waller here. Josh Jacobs gets the start, gets a nice game. 68 total yards with the score before he leaves with a chest injury. Now, everything I've seen on this says that it is not serious and he isn't going to miss any time. And again, they have a bye next week, so he should be fine. Kenyon Drake pops in. Very well done. 14 for 69 with the touchdown on the ground. 3 catches, 10 yards through the air. Derek Carr winds up throwing for 323 yards and 2 scores to Foster Moreau and Bryan Edwards. Hunter Renfrow does do his usual thing. 8 targets, 7 catches, 58 yards. What about Henry Ruggs? This is a guy that I think fantasy managers had kind of come to rely on. They were feeling good about catches, all of his targets, but it's just 4 of them for 24 yards. So what are your outlook here on Henry Ruggs?
Nothing has fundamentally changed about how I feel with Ruggs. A little bit volatile. It's going to be with the profile, his high average depth of target. It's automatically going to bake some volatility into his profile, but he's shown that he can make that sort of profile work, connect on some big plays, and he's turned out to be a pretty good player. So I'm not going to hold today against him at all. I mean, I think Renfrow is a little bit more reliable as far as weekly floor. You're always going to have some of that risk with Ruggs, but you know, can also pay off in some pretty nice games when he connects on the big plays. So
yeah,
no long-term concerns.
Yeah. I think actually Waller being out might've even hurt him. Cause I think, you know, defense attention going to Waller helps Ruggs a little bit. Also the Eagles are excellent at preventing the big play.
Yes.
That's one of the things they do better than any other team, almost any other team in the NFL. So the fact is that's Ruggs's strong suit. So not surprising that it was a quiet game for him here. And I agree with you. I really have no long-term concerns for the Eagles. This did look like what we all expected it to look like, which was going to be the Miles Sanders game, right? That's just kind of what it was building towards. 6 for 30 on the ground, injures his ankle. He's going to undergo x-rays right now. So let's hope it's all good. But without him, Kenneth Gainwell, I mean, he does come up with a receiving touchdown. He also loses a bad fumble. Boston Scott also scores a rushing touchdown. We'll just have to wait and see on it. Jalen Hurts, meanwhile, winds up throwing two touchdown passes, one to Gainwell, as I said, one to Jalen Reagor, who made a great play to score the touchdown. He had 61 yards rushing. He gets credited with a fumble on the missed snap. Two guys, though, I do want to ask you about here, Pat. First is Devontae Smith. 9 targets, 5 catches, 61 yards. He's got one touchdown on the year. He is getting the targets, at least 7 in all games, but 2. But the production is really hit or miss here. And again, it's not that surprising given the fact that Hurts is not exactly the most reliable passing quarterback. So how do you feel about Devontae Smith going forward?
The targets and the air yards have been good enough that I'm fairly confident about him. But knowing there's going to be a little bit of an efficiency reduction because he's a rookie and because he is dealing with a below average passer at quarterback. So but with the targets in the air yards, like those are eventually going to pay off. He is getting that represents opportunity. He's getting opportunity. I think he's going to pay off more than not this year. So I think he's someone who should stay in lineups, even though people are going to be frustrated by the occasional clunker of a game like today. And you mentioned the Eagles as a team that doesn't give up the big play. The Raiders are kind of like that, too.
Yeah,
they play that cover three and just don't want you to get over the top of them. So, which is a pretty effective strategy against Jalen Hurts because it's Jalen Hurts going to be able to dink and dunk his way down the field against you. Yeah, so I'm not no concerns about Smith, really.
How about Dallas Goedert here off the COVID list? First game without Zach Ertz, 5 targets, whatever, but 3 catches for 70 yards. So how do you feel about Goedert here going forward?
Pretty good. I think he's a mid-range to, yeah, like tight end 7, tight end 8, yep, tight end 6, somewhere in that range rest of season, I think.
Complete agreement. It was good to see him get involved here. Could have had a bigger game as well. Rams 28, Lions 19. We should all endeavor to live our lives in the manner in which Dan Campbell lived out the first 7 minutes of that game. Trickeration galore. All the crazy stops. It was beautiful, but it was not enough, as probably we all anticipated here. But for the Lions, it was a great game for DeAndre Swift. 13 for 48 on the ground. 10 targets, 8 catches, 96 yards with the touchdown through the air. He was 15th in your rest of season rankings, Pat, coming in. Are you going to move him up, you think, after this game?
Yeah, I should. He's a stud. He's a low-end running back 1.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
Yeah, it's been great to see that he was getting, because again, he caught a little bit, you know, coming into the year and he was injured and Dan Campbell poo-pooed him right from the start. So I think he went at a little bit of a discount starting item 12. I'll probably move him up even a little bit because it really is great to see. Meanwhile, Jared Goff does throw for 268 yards. I was going to ask, Pat, because I was like, oh, God, did I miss something here? Amon-Ra St. Brown got 0 targets in this game. Was this a Rams? I be honest, I wasn't watching this game like crazy closely to be able to pick up on it. Did Ramsey just take him out of the game, or is that what this was?
I think it was. Okay. I think Ramsey was on him. I mean, there were a couple of times I saw Ramsey on Hawkinson a couple of times too.
Yeah.
So, but I'm guessing that Ramsey had to be on Amon-Ra a good amount of the time. And I think it just goes to show there's really no trustworthy Lions receiver. And it's just too, you know, we saw Khalif Raymond's kind of hit today and you're not ever going to play Khalif Raymond. It's just, there's not enough production by the Detroit wide receivers to get involved in the Detroit wide receiver business.
So that's the question. Can you drop Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Yes.
I agree with you. And again, I'm looking at our rest of season rankings, Pat. We basically had him right with Robbie Anderson, which I just said was droppable. So I agree with that. But you mentioned, Khalif Raymond, 8 targets, catches 6 of them for 115 yards, but we are not interested there. Hawkinson, fine, 9 targets. Good to see the targets, 6 catches, 48 yards. Jamal Williams, again, no involvement whatsoever in the passing game at this point, unfortunately, since that first game, really. So just 12 for 57 on the ground. For the Rams, this is basically what we had hoped for pretty much everybody except Daryl Henderson. 334 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 to Van Jefferson, the other 2 to Cooper Kupp, 13 targets, 10 catches, 156 yards. So, I mean, Pat, you really think that this is just what we can essentially come to expect going forward for the rest of this season?
Yes, I think so, where we see Woods be playable, but with, you know, modest expectations, and Kupp is just the star you keep playing week after week. And Dan, let me ask you a question. Let me turn the tables.
No.
2022 fantasy drafts, redraft, where is Cooper Kupp going next year? Where do you see his ADP landing?
Okay. I think that he is probably going to be let's assume that this roughly, maybe not this insane pace that he's on, but he continues to show that he is essentially this type of wide receiver, borderline first rounder in 12 team leagues. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be somewhere mid-seconds.
So for me, don't you think, like, you know, you're going to have the top eight or nine running backs, and then you're going to start thinking about the wide receivers and who, I mean, where do you think you'll have him ranked at wide receiver right now? It's hard to keep him out of the top three, right?
Yeah. But don't you think, wouldn't you have an athletic marvel like Ja'Marr Chase ranked ahead of him?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh boy, I had not given adequate thought to my 2022 draft.
Yeah, so I mean, it'll be interesting to see where he, you know, who puts him where vis-a-vis DJ Moore, you know, another ascending talent. Yeah. He's top six for sure. So he's going to be top 20 overall pick, and could very easily sneak into the top 15, I guess, and be early second. I tend to think mid seconds, but I could see early second.
I think I'm a little more bullish perhaps on, I mean, if this is what happens, then I just don't see any reason that you could really have to doubt him whatsoever as a top, maybe four, but really top three is the guy. And yeah, I mean, you bring up the good point with Chase, but for right now, there's no contest with him and DJ Moore. As much as I love DJ Moore, like, I'd very, very heartily take Kupp before that.
Ahead of Steph Diggs, Dan?
Yeah, that's right. That's the line, man. I don't know. Right. I'll say this. In my rest of season rankings, as I know you do as well, I have Kupp ahead of Diggs rest of season for my wide receiver rankings, as did you coming in.
Yep.
If this keeps going, I don't know why I would necessarily change that. You know, that's basically where it comes down to. So you're fine, though, with Woods, right? Six targets, six catches, 70 yards. This is just a borderline wide receiver too, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Tyler Higbee again gets the targets, five catches, 46 yards. Bad game from Darrell Henderson here, 15 for 45 on the ground, six targets, three catches, 19 yards. Just a down game for him.
Yeah, 21 combined carries and targets. So no one's complaining about that. The usage is still just primo, and it just didn't pay off today.
Yep. Bucks 38, Bears 3. Antonio Brown is out. Rob Gronkowski is out. Zero concerns with the team. It's a fantasy gold mine for everybody. Tom Brady, 20 for 36, 211 yards and four touchdowns. Probably could have thrown 10 touchdowns if he absolutely needed to. Chris Godwin, what we knew would happen. I think, Pat, I hope it's okay. I stole a prop that you wrote on your wonderful props article over at bettingpros.com, which was Chris Godwin at plus money at over 6.5 catches. I recommended it on our Betting Pros podcast this week. I gave you credit for it. So there you go. 11 targets, 8 catches, 111 yards, and the touchdown. Mike Evans, 10 targets, 6 catches, 76 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Leonard Fournette, 15 for 81 on the ground with the score, plus 2 catches for 9 yards. I mean, OJ Howard did nothing if we want to complain, I guess, about it. But I mean, is there anything to say here really about this offense?
No, they just sort of polarized the targets with Antonio Brown out. Everything went to Godwin and Evans, not really the tight ends, not Tyler Johnson as the substitute third receiver. It was all those two guys, and it's good to see. I mean, two fantastic players, and they both popped in a big way.
Yep, I agree. We talked about Khalil Herbert here for the Bears already. As for the rest of the game, I want to put it like this. Justin Fields was terrible, as we know, 22 of 32 for 184 yards and 3 picks. Cole Kmet was your leading receiver with 5 catches for 43 yards, most of that in garbage time there at the very end. Darnell Mooney, 5 targets, 2 catches, 39 yards. Allen Robinson, 4 targets, 2 catches, 16 yards. Pat, please convince me that somebody else other than the running backs needs to be rostered on the Chicago Bears.
I don't think I can do it anymore, Dan. And I'm not drawing the conclusion that Justin Fields sucks. I think he's eventually going to start to get it. He's just having a hard time deciphering NFL defenses. And he has, as of now, a broken internal clock as far as knowing when he's got to get rid of the ball. And he just doesn't sense pressure. Part of that is coming from an Ohio State team where he's always got five-star recruits in front of him blocking and, you know, dominating pass rushers from Rutgers and Maryland. So, it's hard. And until we start seeing, like, Fields is unusable until he's usable. And we're going to have to see the signs of life. We're going to have to see him doing a better job of sensing pressure and starting to look a little more like an NFL quarterback. And until we see it, I don't think we can play the wide receivers either.
This is correct. And I recommended Mooney to a ton of people.
Oh, today. So did I. So did I.
Many people. Yep. I'm telling you, Pat and I, we were talking as much as I love, I used to talk to Tags about this all the time. I still love my fantasy leagues, all my buddies, everything like that. There is nothing that I really get as invested in as when I recommend to people when they ask starts at advice and I recommend somebody and they do poorly. Like that is really something that makes me feel so terrible when I do it. And really it was Mooney and Robinson in this game. I thought given the week that we were in, given the matchup that we would see a lot, there is no reason to roster either of these guys. I'm in complete agreement. Fields is just, you're right. I'm not going to make any long-term proclamations or anything like that, but for a short term, absolutely. This just isn't working right now. Last game, Cardinals 31, Texans 5. Kyler Murray throws for 261 yards and 3 touchdowns. 1 to DeAndre Hopkins. Of course, I don't know. I think it was minus 130 for Hopkins to score a touchdown. That was going to happen no matter what. They were going to get him a touchdown in this game. 9 targets, 7 catches, 53 yards. Still, the yardage isn't really there for him. I'd like to see some bigger games, but he does have the touchdown. 1 goes to Christian Kirk. Good start this week. 5 targets, 4 catches, 50 yards, and the touchdown. 1 to Zach Ertz, 5 targets, 3 catches, 66 yards, and the touchdown. Obviously a great matchup for a tight end in this game, but he had such little time with his new team. How do you just feel, because we haven't been able to talk about it, how do you feel about Zach Ertz here with his new team?
Interesting that he was used a lot, and there was a lot of opportunity. Not only did he have the long touchdown, there was a missed connection with Kyler Murray on an end zone target where
it's
basically just an off-target throw where you know, kind of a timing route. Ertz turned around and the ball was like 3 feet.
Didn't they also run him at the end?
He fumbled. He lost a fumble at the goal line.
That's right.
On a reverse. And he was like, he was down inside the 1 yard line and the ball spilled out and went right to a Texan. So, kind of early in the game. So, really, he had like 3 very good scoring opportunities in this game. And Dan, like, we were already chopping up the targets and the receiving yardage 4 ways. And now there is a legitimate better than Max Williams pass catcher in the house. And this is a problem for anyone who is invested in a Cardinals receiver.
Yeah. Let me pick one out. The guy who did not have really anything going on today, Rondell Moore, 3 targets, 2 catches, 17 yards. Is Rondell Moore droppable?
Yeah, man. And I'm such a Rondale fan. But with all these, with AJ Green unexpectedly relevant, and now with Ertz in the house, I think Rondale Moore is droppable.
I agree. And I love him so much. Yep. I recommend him on the waiver wire show for like weeks. I love him. But yeah, I agree. I think Ertz is really going to factor in here going forward. With the running backs, I was a little surprised to see Chase Edmonds get so many carries in this game, given the game script. 15 for 81 on the ground. James Conner, 10 for 64. He does, of course, find the touchdown. Are you starting both these guys here regularly going forward?
Edmonds, yes. I'm a little more reluctant to pull the trigger on Connor just because he has been so touchdown dependent and there's just nothing as far as production in the passing game. So that's really hard to lean on someone who is doing it solely on carries. And how many touchdowns does he have now? Like 5 or 6 rushing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. It's like that pace just isn't going to continue. So I'm very nervous about him, and especially in PPR and half PPR leagues.
Oh, wow. You know what? This should have been a what's your problem, man, for me. This is, I'm confused by your opinion, sir, on this, because you have him 40th in your rest of season rankings, Pat, at running back, and you don't sound like you're moving him up right now after this, huh? It doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, not really. I mean, maybe I'll poke him up a few spots if there are some, you know, guys who fall due to injuries, maybe Miles Sanders and other people. But yeah, just it's a hard profile to trust, and it's worked so far, but the odds of it continuing to work, I don't think are very good.
Yeah, that's an error on me. We'll do that one next week. Don't worry about it. For the Texans, it's all ugly, kind of as we expected. Nico Collins was your leading receiver with 28 yards. Brandon Cooks, 7 targets, 5 catches, 21 yards. Are you concerned about Brandon Cooks going forward, or is this just a bad game?
Just a bad game. And all receivers have him, and Cooks has clicked more often than not. So no concerns.
I agree with you as well. Final usual question for us. Is there any reason to roster a Texan running back?
No.
Very good, Matt. I love the decisiveness. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to Air Medcare Network, no matter where you're at in the game of life. Don't forget that an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection that you should not live without. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code Fantasy Pros. Thanks also to Props Fantasy. Be like me. Take on your frenemies. Embarrass them to high heaven with your fantasy goodness. Go to propsfantasy.com/pros and maybe win an Aaron Rodgers signed helmet. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We are going to talk to you again tomorrow with the Waiver Wire Show.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the #1 recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.